has to fix something for the Persia class. I made a mistake, so he's fixing it. All right, and let's just start. Okay. We're starting Hilchos Eruvin, the laws of Eruvin. Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, chapter 1, law 1. In the Mosnaim text, it's page 12 and 13. And let's look, even before page 12, let's turn the page back, and it gives us the little synopsis. It says this whole, all these eight chapters, it's mitzvah achas, mitzvah saseachas, it's one positive mitzvah, v'hi midivrei sofrim, and it's not even a biblical one. It's only rabbinic. Right? Meaning to say that the early rabbis were called sofrim, as they're called in Divrei Yomim, in the book of Ezra, and things like that. V'eina min ha-minyan, it's not considered of the minyan of the 613 mitzvahs that Moshe gave to the Jewish people at Sinai. It's not even one of those. It's rabbinic. And I will explain what these are. What are the details are. So now. So today it's not hard. The Rambam is going to be pretty easy. Chatzer sheyesh b'shchenim. A courtyard that has neighbors. Meaning to say, there's a number of different people who live within this courtyard. Kol echad ech mehem b'vayis asmo. Everybody has their own house that opens up into the courtyard. So now, din Torah, according to Torah law, who shiyu kula mutarim l'talta b'chol ha-chatzer, that everyone's allowed to carry everywhere in the entire courtyard, umibatim l'chatzer, and from their house into the courtyard, umichatzer l'batim, and from the courtyard into the houses. You can carry anywhere. Why? Because the entire chatzer is one private domain. Because in private, it's enclosed by four walls. Right, that's what it is. It's totally enclosed.
Getting an advance on tomorrow's day.
Okay.
Dish.
All right.
Thank you.
So that's all one Rishus HaYachid Umutlo Talta Lekulin. You can carry throughout it. Biblically, you can carry in a courtyard. V'chein Adin B'mavui. Similarly, with Alain. Remember the good old Mavui?
With the little thing on
the Mavui really is, remember what Mavui is? It's Alain. Yeah. And there's a number of different chatseros that the chatserim themselves open up into a little opening that opens into the lane. So this lane has a number of openings of the ends of courtyards that are going into the lane. So it's just a lane. There's nobody living in the lane per se. Nobody's even living next to the lane. But they're living in the homes that open up into the courtyards, that the courtyards open up into the lanes. Okay, you with me here? That's a mavui. Now, a mavui Shieshlo lechi, or a lechi, that has a pole. If you look in your book on page 12, the left-hand picture, see a little pole at the side of the entrance to the lane. Right, that's a lechi. Mm-hmm. Okaira, or a beam that goes over the top.
Right here.
Right? And each of them serves a little bit of a different function. Right? So, one second. As one of them, we look at it as it's as if you're moving the wall across. The lechi is like, well, there's a little bit, and it's as if there's a whole wall across. And the kura is like a hecker, is a reminder that we're not to pass by that area. Hmm. So now it's totally closed off. So really, the law should be, shiu kol b'nei ha-mavui mutarim l'tal to b'chulo. People in the mavui should carry totally in there. Umechatzeres l'mavui, and from the chatzer into the mavui. Umimavui l'chatzeres, and from the mavui into the chatzeres. Shekol ha-mavui rishus ha-yachid, because the entire mavui is considered rishus ha-yachid. Who? So that's the second case, where really biblically you should be able to carry in a mavui. That is properly closed off at the end. V'chein adin b'medina shimukef eschoyme gavoy asor etfachem shesho delosos v'nin olos balayla. And so the law will be the same thing with a city that's surrounded by a wall that's high, at least 10 tefachim high, that has doors that are locked, that are actually locked at night. That's this girsa. There's other girsas in the Rambam that says that have locks, but they don't necessarily have to be locked, per se. Shekula rishus hayachid, it really is all one rishus hayachid. So, zehu din Torah, that's the biblical law you could carry in a chatzer, in a mavui, and in a city that's totally enclosed. That's the biblical law. Base. Avol midivrei sofrim, but rabbinically, Also, l'shchedim l'taltel b'shus hayachid sheish b'chaluka k'diyurin is prohibited rabbinically for the neighbors to carry in this reshus hayachid that has a division of dwellers in there until atchi arvu kol hashchedim kulam me'erev Shabbos, until they all make an eruv, something that combines them and mixes them up, which was done on Erev Shabbos, which will be explained in fuller detail later on. Echad chatzer, regardless if it's a chatzer, a courtyard. Echad movi, regardless if it's a lane. Echad medina, regardless if it's a country. The davar zeh takana shlomo ebezdin. This was a takana that Shlomo and his bezdin did.
That's a long time ago.
Right?
Is this because...
And when Shlomo made this takana, the Gemara tells us, a voice from heaven came out and quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. Bini, my son, im chacham libcha, if you have a very wise heart, yismach libi gamani, my heart's also happy with you. In other words, Hashem was happy with this takana. Now, we will see later, until the times of Shlomo Melech, there was no need to make an Eruv, because the people were living in what we would call warlike conditions with their enemies. And we will learn later on that an encampment that is used for war is freed from having to make an Eruv. So it's like the Jewish people, like, always had to worry about terrorists and stuff like that. Plishtim, you know, never know when they're going to come. So even though we had our own country, but until Shlomo Melech came, it's like we always were in a state of war. So when you're in a state of war, you don't need to make a mavui. Achabah Shlomo, until Shlomo came, and his days, there was, Hashem gave him peace in the land. Sounds peace in the land. There's no reason not to make this decree. Therefore, he put the decree into place. Gimel.
Can I just say one question?
Yeah.
I mean, is this driven because they're unrelated, separate families that live within?
We're going to see in Halacha Dalet why he made this law.
Okay.
He's going to give us the reason.
Okay.
Gimel. V'chein yesh ve'alam, and people who live in tents, and tents that are permanent tents, o sukos, or huts that are permanent huts, o machana shikifu mechitza, or an encampment that has been surrounded by walls, that tends to show permanence for that as well. A metalkli me'ol oil, you can't carry from one tent to another, achi arvukul, until you make an eruv for all of them. Because since these are all permanent, and therefore each one has its own reshus, as it were, so that's no different than anything else. Aval shayar, but a caravan, shekifa mechitzo. Let's say they bunked down for the night, and they made a little wall around themselves. That ain't tzarech la'arav. You don't think an eruv at all. Rather, elamitzin me'ol oil b'la'arav. If you can carry from one tent to the other without an eruv, why? Ve'sheim kulam u'ravim. It's as if they're already combined, right? Ve'ein osa ohal v'lim kulam u'ravim. It's not like they have set tents. In other words, the whole idea of a caravan is we're all traveling together. Nobody really has a permanent dwelling to begin with, even if for the night. That's just for a night. It's not, you know, it's not like I have my house here the next 50 years. I have a tent community where I'm staying for a long time. Then there's a problem because everyone looks like they have a separate place where they live, and we'll see shortly why we made the takana. But when it's a caravan, there's no way of ever thinking it's a permanent thing.
Does that have to do with Sheikifa Mechitza?
That just shows that it is now enclosed. It's no Mechitza, you couldn't carry anyway.
100%. But once they do that, then it does away with the Eruv?
The need for the Eruv, right. Because a person doesn't have a status of any kind of permanent dwelling.
Okay.
Right? So that's the whole point. It has to be that these are real dwellings in real places over here. These structures, you know, are not lasting. They're not considered living in separate dwellings. The main point is, I live in a separate dwelling. You live in a separate dwelling. We now have a common dwelling. That's where we make the takana. But the tent of a caravan is not considered a separate dwelling, so therefore it doesn't need it.
No, but how about in Israel when they were traveling in the desert? I mean, obviously they didn't apply properly, but they all had a set place that they...
It's before the times of Shlomo Melech.
Right.
Wasn't made. The decree wasn't made yet.
But in a situation like that, they all had a set place.
But they were always traveling.
Well, they were in places for 38 years.
But they
sometimes.
Never knew when they had to pick up and go.
So what was thing with the guy who took the sticks?
Well, it was in between the camps. There was enough space to make it Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, so he was considered...
Again, there was, first of all, there's no Arabs over there.
Okay.
There are no Arabs. We're not talking, there weren't walls around there, so there was no inyan of having to make an Eruv, because it was all either Carmelis, or it doesn't say that they were 2,000 amas away from the Mishkan.
Right.
So that already made it out of the tchum, whatever. It clearly wasn't, they weren't chatzeros. So there was no aspect to make an Eruv, because there was not an enclosed area to begin with. Okay, Dalit. So why did Shlomo make this takana? What was the purpose behind the takana? So two reasons are given. Number one, people shouldn't make a mistake. Say, just like I can carry out into the chatzers and into the streets of the country. Right, that's surrounded. Ushvaken, I can go to the markets, ulahachas melechatzeres, and take them there into my courtyards as well. Right, kach muta lahotzi min amidin lasada. I figure I can take from the city into the fields, ulahachas min asada lamidina, and I can go from the fields into the city. In other words, you know, it doesn't look that enclosed. You know, let's say Bathurst, right? Bathurst, not let's say Toronto. We have an Eruv, a different kind of Eruv that makes it a Rishus HaYachid, but we still have to have an Eruv Chatzeres. Why? Let's pretend there's a wall all around the city, okay? So when you're walking Bath Street, you don't see any walls. It doesn't look like a private domain. So if you're, I guess, just like I walk on Bath Street, I can go out of the Eruv, and I can walk somewhere else. So therefore, the Eruv Chatzeres makes a hecker, a reminder for us that no, it's not the same. We are all one unit because we've made a specific procedure that has unified us as one. But since it looks very out there, as it were, and people are carrying just about how often they want to carry, there's no restrictions on carrying, person can figure, where should that be restricted even to carry outside the city as well? That's number one. So it's really only a rabbinic stringency, the whole thing. Hold on, let me do the second reason, then we can ask questions. And the second thing is v'yachshavu, and people might think shashvakim v'rochavos, the marketplace in the streets, ho v'heim rishus l'kol, since everybody is allowed to carry into them, even though really it's a rishus hayachid, right? But what will people mistakenly think? That, well, to me it looks like a public domain, right? Hareheim kasodos k'meiros, they're like fields and deserts. And what are they going to say? V'yom, they're going to say shechatzer spavad, only the chatzer, the courtyard, hein rishus hayachid. That's only the rishus hayachid, because it's not a million people going there. So what are they going to think now it's allowed to do? V'yidam, they're going to think shein ha'otza malacha. They're going to think that carrying is not a malacha, period. There's no such thing. You can carry from rishus hayachid shalami. Okay, imagine if you don't tell a kid there's an Erev in Toronto, and there's Erev chatzeres in Toronto. Guy can figure it. It's not one of the 39 prohibited activities. Doesn't look good. So we have to therefore make it Erev Chatzeres, and have to tell them we're making that. What are we making Erev Chatzeres for? Because really, you know, we have to realize it is an enclosed area, and even an enclosed area needs some kind of reminder, so we won't make a mistake and think it's not an enclosed area, and it will come to say that the whole halacha is out the window.
So why do we not include that today?
We do.
What?
We have to make an Erev Chatzeres.
Where do we make an Erev Chatzeres?
The rabbi, the best, and somebody has to make one.
But nobody's aware of this. How many people are aware that they make an Erev Chatzeres?
How does that remind you?
I mean, it's supposed to be a reminder for people. I'm sure all the school kids aren't even aware. I mean, most of the adults aren't aware. They're
yeah,
school.
Okay. I hear.
Question.
Yeah.
So is this the whole issue with Borough Park or Brooklyn? Sorry, it's Brooklyn. Where they don't let you walk in because there's such a big thoroughfare, there's so much traffic, it looks...
No, there's different issues there. Some say it's a real Rishus HaRabim that you can't turn it into a Rishus HaYachid.
No matter what you do,
600,000 people cross a certain street.
That's
that makes
it
Rishus HaRabim. Right. So that's the issue, right? And then there's others who just don't want to avail themselves to an Eruv because
Manhattan has that problem with Eruvs because there's certain places have a lot of people going down the streets there.
Right. So therefore, you know, but, and others don't want to have an Eruv because you just will never get used to checking your pockets. You never think you can always carry it. Then one day, if the air is down one day, would you go to another city? Right, when I was in, where was I? Where did I go? I don't know if they had an
Eruv.
No, we're just now in Cambridge.
Right.
You've out of the hotel, there's no air.
Yeah, but you're inside the hotel, there's no air.
No, but,
no, of course.
But you walk out of there,
I
go for a nice Shabbos walk.
Sure.
Why can't you know? And I can in the fast. I'm in my pockets. I'm a cow. I never check my pockets. I mean, we should, but people don't check their pockets every Shabbos in Toronto.
You see, I was born in a place where there's no Arab, so
right.
I always do that.
Right.
We're spoiled.
So this Arab Chatzeros that we have to say that's the same one we say Arab Yontif if we're.
No, that's Nev Tavshilin. It's a different era. Different era.
But there is a blood.
There is one.
So
we'll have
right.
to talk
so, about it. So I guess the question, like Martin said, like we each say that era of Yontif for the era of Tavshilin, and we don't rely on somebody else, but here we're relying on somebody else.
Because we're going to see in a minute, it's a whole different function. It's a whole different function. We have to create that everybody owns property. Everybody owns everybody. We're all partners in one property. So therefore, you have to have one thing that includes everybody.
So have to be done.
Can't everybody make his own thing. The whole idea of the Erev Chatzeros or the Erev whatever is to make it like that. Everybody is a joint owner of every single inch. In theory, we all own every piece of the rights to travel on Bathurst. We have technically we're allowing everyone to have a little ownership of everybody's apartment and everything. We're all joint owners, so you have to have one common thing for everybody. But an Erev Chatzeros, an Erev Tavshilin, it's you want to cook for yourself, I'm not to the other guy. The other guy doesn't want to cook, he doesn't have to make one.
So how often do they make
one? I was going to ask that. Do you have to do it every Shabbos?
Well, usually you do it once a year. Usually you do it once a year and you change it on Pesach.
Is it a declaration in Erev Chatzeros?
Yeah, it's the whole thing you read. It's in the article. We'll get to it, but
we
didn't even learn anything yet. We just started. We got 8 chapters to go. That's a little patient. Right?
At the end of 8 chapters, we still don't know.
If you don't know after 8 chapters, you can ask all the questions. Right. Okay.
That's what he's banking on.
Hey, Levico, therefore, TKN made the following legislation. Shekol Rishus Hayochid, any private domain. Should take a lake b'diurim that's been divided up into different inhabitants and dwellers. Yochas kolecha vecha b'rishus hazon. Everybody has his own place to live, has his own domicile, his own area. Yishar mimenu makom b'rishus kulam. And then there's another area that's common for everybody, right? Interesting. It seems from the Rambam that's the only time you make this law when there is everyone has their own place to live, and then there's a common area that they all go to. Yad kulam shavu, and everybody has equal access to that common area. Kigon chotzer labatim, just like we see a chotzer, a courtyard with homes that open up to a chotzer. Everybody has their own piece of property, and it's a common property. So what do we have to do? Shenap shavu samakam. We have to make it considered that that place, shad kulam shavu, that everyone's equal access to it. Kiiluhu rishus l'ram, it's as if it's a domain for everybody, but also, and we have to consider every private part that everybody lives in. The chalak on his piece, last one for himself, shubuvad rishus hayochid. That alone is rishus hayochid. Everybody has complete ownership of everything else, and it's all common, complete ownership of everything.
So why does he call it public? Shouldn't it be private? It's all private. Then?
No, but it's so we consider that kulam shavabo, that it's rishus for all of them to jointly be there. But it's
it's a rishus aram ki ilu.
Yeah. So we can. Right. So in other words, let's do this again. So we made that everyone, if you have your own thing, right? Anyone has his own thing. So we make it. That we consider it that the place that everyone can go to is like the Rishus HaRabim. That's the rabbi's decree. If you don't do anything, we're going to make it like a Rishus HaRabim. We're going to consider every of one of your private homes as your own private things. That's what we're going to say it is. We're going to consider it like that rabbinically. And it's prohibited to carry from your private part, that's your own separated part, to the part that everybody can't go in there, just they can't go from Shabbat to Shabbat. Right? The rabbis
that's
make
starting point.
That's what they're rabbinically saying it's like.
Unless you do something.
Ella, but so until you do anything, El Yishtamish Kol Echav Shusha Chalak Le'atzmo Vad. You can only use your portion, that's your own little portion. Achavakum, until you mix them all together, Apapisha Kol Rosh Hashanah, you know, it's technically all Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We treat it all, the middle part like Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and your private part like Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And you can't care from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabin. That was what the rabbis decreed we make it. If you're not going to make any kind of an Erev, that's the status that we are going to give for it. And now if we treat that like a Shusha Rabbin, and your home is Shusha Yachid, no one will ever think you can care for a Shusha Yachid or Shusha Rabbin. Don't make those mistakes.
What are you worried about?
That's right.
Well, that's a piece of, not sophistry, but it's a piece of, it's an artifice to make sure you think.
That's right. But they haven't made their chatzeres yet.
No, I understand. But
the rabbis are treating all these situations as if it's mamish like Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, so what's the physical, existence? Every single house, a separate house.
I have my own house.
It has a lawn, for example, or a little courtyard.
No, they all open up into one grand courtyard.
Oh, they all, from the door...
You know, like the house is on New Westminster, right south of Center Street.
Okay.
That's a pretty classic courtyard.
Yeah.
The homes open up into a common area.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's all enclosed. I don't know if the fences around it are totally enclosing, but let's say they would.
How about the right on the stair? All the townhouses, they all have one central area that they're in.
But it's not enclosed.
Like a gated community, maybe.
Maybe. But it's a typical courtyard was. Yeah. You have in Eretz Yisrael, you've got these.
Yeah, you're still there.
In Eretz Yisrael, you've got these courtyards of a bunch of apartments that open up into one central courtyard, and it's all closed around.
It's like a fence all the way around.
Pretty much, or it goes into an alleyway with a lechi, right? Things like that. That's what it's all about, right? You have one apartment, it all just opens up. It opens up, right? So that's the chatzer. So the rabbis say we're going to treat the chatzer like the Rosh Hashanah Rabin until you do something about it. And that way everyone will know you cannot carry there. So now Vav gets into the Erev. So Mahu Ha'erev. So what is this Erev? What do you do? Who is what you do? She's Orvu. We combine everybody, we mix everybody. But Machalachad with one food, one common food. We lay it out on Erev Shabbos. Klaimer, meaning to say, what is this action symbolizing? That Shukulanu Moravin, we're all mixed up. We all have one piece of food. We'll see what kind of food that is. And there's nobody separated in domains from his friend. Ella, but rather, we want to have the following setup. Just like we all have equal access to this central part, right? That remains for all of us. So there, we also want to give everybody rights equally in every place where everybody has his own place. It's all one rishus. In other words, just like this one bread we feel is jointly owned by all of us, we're all equal owners of this bread. So every piece of real estate in the private property and the chatzer is all jointly owned by everybody. It means I have an equal share in your apartment, you have an equal share in my apartment, in your apartment, as well as the chatzer. Just like this food has unified us all to be joint owners of this piece of food, we're all joint owners of all the real estate that's involved in the homes and the chatzer behind that. It's all one big, happy rishus.
So how is everybody included in this?
We have to get to the next halach.
Okay.
Ubamasa zan, with this one action, lo yavo lito, so don't make a mistake, uladamas, and to think, shemuta lohotzi lohatnish v'shayach v'sharam, no one will think you can go from shayach v'sharam. Because we're saying, we every year we make, like, it's almost like a public thing known, we're saying, okay everybody, we're making the Erev Chatzeres, it's Erev Pesach, let's get another box of matzah. Okay, I'm getting the matzah for everybody. Tell everybody we're doing it. Just remember that we're all joint owners of everything over here. So that's really, in theory, the way it's supposed to be done. So Zayin. Ha'erev sh'ayis b'nei ha'chatzer, zeim zeh. This Erev, right? Did I skip anything?
No.
This Erev that we make, the people of the courtyard peoples, Who are Nikra? We call this Eruve Chatzeres. The Talmudic term is Eruve Chatzeres, mixing the courtyards. That's what we call it. We Osin Anshe Mavui, and those, when people of a Mavui make an Eruve Chatzeres, and we'll see later, I'm going to see in your English, in the next halacha, it's going to say, why do we make a distinction between these two? But when you, people from a mob, we make this together, or B'nai Medina, or a whole country, Wanikov Shituv. It's called a partnership. Okay, so now we've had the introduction in the first seven halachas, and tomorrow we'll start with halacha Ches, and Mirtz Hashem, we're just going to get into the real details of what the halachas are over here.
Does everyone have to be Jewish?
Uh-oh.